Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Going to talk more NBA basketball here today on Drive Time Sports. We're going to bring in one of the happiest basketball fans walking planet Earth right now, and rightfully so. His Boston Celtics closed out the Dallas Mavericks earlier this week in dominating fashion. The Celtics go all the way through the postseason, three losses, only one of those three coming on the road. He is James Hollis. We're going to talk about his Celtics hanging banner 18 right now. James, it's good to be a Celtics fan right now, I would assume.
I had a hard time scheduling this phone call, man, because when you're a victor, you're a winner, your schedule gets full. You know, when you're champ, sometimes it's hard to come down to the common masses and give time. But I made sure, because you're a personal friend of mine, that I opened my heart and I made time for you.
I appreciate that. Yep, I appreciate that. Listen, all year you were cautiously optimistic, and I think every sports fan understands that, right? The expectation from a fan perspective always seems to be a little bit greater sometimes than what the realistic expectation is. I think you, being a fan and also a student of the game of basketball, you could recognize both sides of it. You could recognize that the Celtics team has broken your heart over the last 5-6 years. They've been on the brink, but you also understood the expectations. Finally, now those two sides get to meet, and that's where you're sitting at right now. And that's what Boston can kind of rejoice in, the fact that they've had shortcomings over the past 6 years and the expectations have been there, but finally, Jason Tatum's a champ, Jaylen Brown's finals MVP, it just all came together for the squad.
Hey, the last 2 years have been really tough, obviously up 2-1 on the Warriors and lose. Think that you're you know, you have a good shot at getting back to the finals and getting another shot at it, and you get cracked by the 8th seed, go down 3-0, Tatum hurts himself in the first 8 seconds of the Game 7 on your home floor, you get blown out. A lot of disappointment. So I think this season, a lot of Celtics fans, while I can speak for myself, we brought that with us, the insecurity and the unstableness, and will this team get it done at the highest moments? And, you know, now hindsight being 2020, it was laughable because Boston showed they were the best team in the regular season. They showed they were the best team in the playoffs. And, you know, they in the final matchup, it was very anticlimactic. You know, it's satisfying to win. But, yeah, when it's basically the cakewalked over Dallas without Porzingis, and Derek White didn't play well, Tatum didn't play well, and it didn't matter. So it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling to be vindicated. Great feeling to watch Tatum and Brown grow up the way they did. And, yes, I'm excited for next season already.
As you should be. They are going to be the favorites. You talked about last year and the shortcomings. We go back to the loss to Golden State in the NBA Finals. But, James, for me, the Celtics road, it really goes all the way back, in my opinion, to 2017. Because this was a team that Brad Stevens, a Celtics franchise, Brad Stevens had in the Eastern Conference Finals in 2017, losing 5 games to a superior Cleveland Cavaliers squad. Come back the next year, 2018, you're in the Eastern Conference Finals, drop a 7-game set once again to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And so for me, seeing Brad Stevens in the front office after he was so close to getting Boston into the NBA Finals and back-to-back seasons, if it wasn't for LeBron at that particular time, Boston's in the NBA Finals in 2017. They're in the Finals in 2018. They're in the Finals in 2020, right, if it wasn't for that weird bubble era. So to see them finally get over the hump, to me, this goes all the way back to 2017. This has been a long process for this franchise.
I mean, it's been serendipitous, and it's been fraught with a lot of bad luck playing in the East with LeBron James at the height of his powers. Also, like that second year when they were in the East Conference Finals and they lost to LeBron in 7, they were just happy to be there, right?
Yep.
That was a lot of injuries. No Kyrie. Tatum and Brown played, punching up, playing above their weight class. Great, great, great experience. And that's, you know, part of the journey, right? You get forged in the fires. Obviously, Kyrie, you know, came into town. I'm looking back now. I say it's probably time to stop booing Kyrie because, hey, it's not his fault he was miscast as the number one option because that's not who he is. You know, that's more on Danny Ainge than Kyrie. So, yeah, it's been a roller coaster, but really 2022 is when it really kind of, all right, guys, you know, enough of the growing it, enough of building up to it. Like, we should be here. And as a fan, you're always going to feel like that. But, yeah, I think, you know, Tatum's hitting his prime. Jaylen Brown is hitting his prime. This is right where they need to be.
You can be honest. Is it sweeter to knock off Kyrie in the NBA Finals? Does that matter to a Celtics fan?
It does. It does, because coming into the series, it's, you heard it, we all heard it, you know. Dallas has the best two players in the series. That's, you know, a lot of people, for whatever reason, thought Kyrie Irving is better than Jason Tatum, which hasn't been the case in a couple of years now, right?
Asinine.
Right, and even, hey, look, let's be real. He's not better than Jaylen Brown. When you factor in the defense and the size, Kyrie is a fun player, and I'm sure if with a guy like LeBron James, 8 years ago he won a championship, but he hasn't done anything since. And I think the fandom of the NBA is starting to catch up to the fact that he's almost more parlor tricks than actual impact, you know. So it did. It did feel good because we heard the talk about the best backcourt maybe in history with him and Luka, and he looked small in four. He looked small in three of the five games and averaging one game. And he had a really good game three, but other than that, he was not a factor.
James, if we move over to Dallas here for a moment, and we'll look at you know, the idea of what you brought it up. I mean, the year they went seven games with Cleveland, Boston back in 2018. Yeah, they were happy to be there, probably happy to be there in 2017 as well. So back-to-back years, you go to the Eastern Conference Finals, you're just happy to be there. If you are a Dallas Mavericks fan, if you're a Kyrie Irving apologist, you probably have that thought today, because at no point in time did I ever believe that this was going to be a competitive series. Boston is just that much better. Still, when you look at the postseason run for the Dallas Mavericks, something to hang your hat on, because nobody expected it.
For sure, and as we all know, unless one team is just markedly better, which I think Boston was this season, it's just so much about matchups. And I'm thinking that the fact that Dallas was formed so new, right, pieces just came in at trade deadline, and they really started clicking March, April, you know, that's actually a benefit to them, because teams didn't have a lot of film on them. Teams did not have a lot of scouting on them, and I think that's going to change a lot next year. Somebody on Twitter, I can't remember his name right now, he made a really salient point a few years ago. If you're not trying to improve every single year, you are falling behind, because every other team in the NBA is trying to improve. So if Dallas thinks they can stand pat and say, all right, we'll come back next year with training camp and we're going to be right back here again, I think that's a grave mistake. They have to upgrade and add another playmaker somehow. They have to include add some more shooting, at least one or two more guys who can hit legit hit shots. Tim Hardaway has to go, but they have to make some pretty, like, this can't be just around the margins. They have to make some improvements, because I think, you know, we've seen it. Sure, good enough to get deep in the playoffs, but once you get to the against the best of the best, what they have right now is not going to fly.
I agree with you 100%. You got to get better. And I think the only team right now in the NBA that doesn't necessarily have to get better, it is Boston. These pieces aren't going anywhere, and we can talk about that in just a moment. But going back to what you said about the Dallas Mavericks, look, it's been 7 years since we've had a repeat champion in the NBA. I don't know if that's good or bad. I think the NBA has wanted parity for a long time, and they definitely have it. Since Golden State repeated in 2017-2018, we have not had a repeat champion. I got to think about this now. So we went Toronto, we went the Lakers, went the Bucks, Warriors, Nuggets, Celtics. So it's been 7 years since we've had a repeat champion, which brings even that much more credence to the idea of you have to get better year in and year out.
Absolutely, and I think this is a good thing, because, let's see, even before the Warriors, who was the last repeat, you know?
Miami. The Heat went back-to-back, yeah.
Oh, yeah, LeBron and them had back-to-back. Did the Lakers have back-to-back?
They did. Kobe, they went three straight years, lost the first end of the Celtics, and then went Orlando-Boston, so yes.
There you go. So, yep, so you're right. It's been a while. I think with just the way the salary cap is now, the distribution of the star power, the fact that we're not going to see, you know, I think the salary cap makes it basically impossible for you to have a big three where it's three kind of max guys. And the new punitive tax, the second apron levels, I definitely think we're going to probably see a lot more parity. Back-to-back can be super tough. Boston has one advantage that their top seven guys are already locked up. They do need one more guy who can maybe, like, be a Jaylen Brown light off the bench, somebody who can make their own shot and defend and hit threes. Maybe not at a super high level, but they definitely need one more piece off the bench, I think, so to help shore up that bench. But, yeah, Boston is almost like where the Warriors were a few years back when they, you know, they got Steph Curry injury, got them a sweet deal on Steph, and they got Dre for cheap at first until – so the fact that – and there's been the salary cap spike, right? So they had all the things that built their team. So Boston has this team built right now in an environment where it's going to be really hard to duplicate what they're doing.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong here. You got to shore up Derek White, and then you assume that Al Horford comes back. And if that is the case, you're basically rolling with your top eight once again.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, that's absolutely incredible to think about. And, you know, I'm gonna push this a little bit forward when we look at the 2024-25 season in comparison to what the Denver Nuggets just tried to do. James, I don't think the Celtics were ever tested this year. I really don't. I mean, there's always the struggle of an 82-game season, and then you tack on the postseason, a lot of extra basketball. You know, you go back to the Nuggets championship run, there were times that it was taxing for them at times throughout that postseason in general. I think that they ended some series fast, but they were pushed. The Celtics were never under any pressure throughout the regular season. They were never under any pressure in the postseason. The only time, in my opinion, the only time you could have looked at the Celtics and said, this is a big game. It was game three against the Miami Heat. It was 1-1. Everybody expects big things from Miami. We saw it go seven games last year. Celtics responded with flying colors. At no point in time, and that's a stretch to say that, at no point in time was this team pushed.
Right, because obviously we know, like I said, in hindsight being 2020, that Miami team wasn't that good.
Right.
In the moment, you're right. They had a test. Uh-oh, here we go again. Miami's tied 1-1. They should be. They blew them out that game. It's the same Celtics. Are they gonna fold? And, you know, they didn't, because they're just way better than this Miami team with no Jimmy Butler. So, yeah, absolutely, man. And now when all the pressure's off, the championship is won. Right. That's what this is going to be, a team next year. That's going to play so free. And this is my theory. I have nothing to prove it, but I feel like they learned a lesson against the Warriors where, you know, they were gassed in the finals against the Warriors. I feel like they were playing purposefully, like 75-80% all playoffs, and just do enough to win. Keep it at the end and put your foot down and go hard for 5 minutes, because they wanted to be first for the finals. You know, so I have nothing to – that maybe I'm just coping because those series against the Cavs and the Pacers were so close and it shouldn't have been. But I felt like Boston was perfectly fine letting the teams wear themselves out for 42 minutes and then say, last 6 minutes of the game, okay, let's pick it up and let's go.
It reminded me of a Floyd Mayweather prize fight. You know, you're not going to go for the knockout. You're going to pick up a decision win, and that's perfectly fine. Come round 12, we know he's going to be fresh, right? Like that's really what it reminded me of.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I mean. A little bit of rope-a-dope, sure. You just want to stay close. You're getting killed by Nembhard and random guys. You're getting killed by Darius Garland, you know, for three quarters. This is in the fourth quarter. Let's make sure the defense is set, and they pulled away against a team like the Pacers, right? So either way, Boston looked fresh in the finals. That last game was a little ragged. I think both teams, the energy, was just had them both a little frazzled. But they still won by 18 because they're just a better team.
James Holis again joining us right now. James, I got to give you a little bit of a time. I'm never a guy that loves to toot his own horn. I will do it when I've been right and people have told me I'm going to be wrong. This happens quite frequently with you. You're right a lot of the time. Part of the reason why I love following you on Twitter. Jaylen Brown, he's locked up. Got a record-breaking Supermax deal. He's going to be a Celtic through 2029. That brought a lot of criticism. That brought a lot of people questioning if Jaylen Brown was the right guy for the Celtics. There was one person that stuck by Jaylen Brown the entire time and was a believer, and that was you. And now, just this week, you get to see Jaylen Brown named Finals MVP. That'd be a good feeling for you, because you've been calling this for years.
As a fan, man, it's been incredible watching this whole journey. It's a little bittersweet, obviously, because Marcus Smart was there. He was kind of these guys' mentor. He was there to guide him along and get him started. And he had to go to make the team as it is now, right? So, but yeah, man, it's awesome. It's awesome to watch these guys go from rookies. Jaylen was going to come off the bench his first year. I think even his second year was come off the bench, you know, because Tatum, and they had the whole dream team thing made with Gordon Hayward and Kyrie. So it's really just such – these guys are vets, man. Jaylen, I think, hits year 8 or 9 next year. And he's garnering respect. He's one of the best defensive players in the game, one of the best two-way players in the game. And he was booed when he was drafted. That's just a remarkable, remarkable journey for him. And I'm excited to read and see any content that comes out about him later in his career, because he was – can you be imagined like a random GM saying that we're not going to draft him because he's too smart for his own good? Like that's – it's and look where he is now. He bet on himself every step of the way. He believed in himself, and now the NBA has to believe in him, too.
James, let's look ahead to who may challenge Boston in 2025. I believe really in the Eastern Conference, just based off of flexibility, the one team that I think could give them a challenge would be Philadelphia, and that's a of course, assuming that everything goes accordingly for the 76ers this offseason. I think there's problems in Milwaukee. You and I have talked about that throughout the entire season. I don't think we really need to beat that dead horse once again. I don't know. Maybe you believe the Bucks could be a team that could push the Celtics. But in my mind, in the Eastern Conference, really the only team that I'm seeing that has a formidable chance in a seven-game set would be Philly if all things go right.
No, I hear you on Philly. My thing with Philly, I don't believe in Embiid anymore. Tremendous talent. He's not going to be healthy when the chips when the rubber meets the road in the playoffs. And even if he is healthy, he comes up small when the pressure is on. And I just don't believe in Philly. Embiid, his threes are a parlor trick instead of being a useful feature. Right, he shoots threes, but he's not. No one's scared of him shooting threes to win ball games. No one's scared of Embiid down the stretch of ball games. Like I'm not worried about them. My thing with the Bucks, and this is going to be up to the front office, if they can move some of that dead weight they have in like Crowder and Pat Connaughton, those guys are aging and they don't get done on the wing anymore. If they can bring in one guy, let's say somebody who's a little bit better than Sam Hauser, maybe a little more handle than Sam Hauser. Sam Hauser, you saw, held up well defensively.
Yep.
Crazy three-pointer. So if they can bring in one or two more guys just to hit shots around Dame and Giannis and actually play defense, they're going to be trouble because I think Dame and Giannis together, the reports are Dame came in was out of shape last year because he didn't work out last summer and all this. If they come in healthy and really have a summer and a training camp together and then they add one more guy, even a guy of a Tobias Harris level kind of guy, maybe a little better than that, I think the Bucks still, I just don't believe in Embiid anymore.
What about Indy?
Real quick, I want to say the Knicks. Healthy Knicks, they can move Julius and they keep Ananobi. They have a lot of heart and they play tough. They're going
to
be worse.
I think you put the Knicks and the Pacers in the same category, and it kind of goes back to what you were talking about as far as Indiana goes. It's kind of the same along the same lines as Dallas, right? We saw a different Indiana Pacer team after they made the move for Siakam. Now they ink him to a massive deal, $190 million deal. The Pacers being a 7 seed to me is a little bit misleading. Obviously, they ran into a Knicks team that was banged up. So, yeah, I think really you have two teams that may have some potential there. But again, it really matters in what the offseason, how the offseason goes for both those squads. Indiana got a head start. They had to ink Siakam. Maybe they overpaid a little bit for him. Maybe. But in the same sense, this is a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and it's almost like the Jaylen Brown thing, right? Sure. Jaylen sounded like, that $300 million sounded insane, and it quote-unquote overpaid because he's not on the level of a guy who deserves max. But in this situation, you pay the guy max. You don't want to hurt it. You don't want to hurt the relationship. You don't want him to walk and, leave for even if it's less money because you insulted him. So same thing with Siakam. You traded for him. You knew you were going to pay him that max. My thing with the Pacers, they don't play defense at a high enough level, so I'm not too worried about the Pacers. The Knicks, Celtics struggled with them last season, right? I think, they gave us some really good games, and Brunson is Brunson. He's the one player I think Boston really couldn't figure out. Obviously, Boston showed in the playoffs that when they scheme for one team over the course of five games, whatever, it's going to be different. But, I think the main difference is the Knicks show that they can actually play defense. And we know that in the playoffs, that's what kind of, that's at a premium.
James, before I let you go, we'll look at some key dates now that the season is over. So coming up, we got the draft on the 26th. Yes, the 26th first round, 27th will be the second round. June 30th, NBA teams maybe they can start negotiating with some of the free agents. July 6th, that's when they can start signing free agents. Then we hop into the summer league. So we really have a pretty heavy timeline for basketball over the next few weeks. What is the most compelling storyline for you now that the regular season and the postseason is in the books?
I think what happens with Paul George, he's still a very, very good player that can swing the power somehow. And also, what does Atlanta do, right? Atlanta, with that number one pick, there's talk about moving Trae Young. They have DeJounte Murray. Atlanta can also, somehow shift the power in the NBA. I'm not a big Trae Young believer, but still, it's an arms race. Things are happening all over the NBA. So, yeah, I'm looking more forward to free agency. I don't follow the draft very tough, and I heard this draft is going to be deep, but there's no maybe, superstar. So.
Correct.
Definitely free agency and what kind of trade. What does Atlanta do? What is the team like? And what the Lakers do? I was talking to one of my buddies, man. I want the Lakers to be good because I would love to see another Lakers-Celtics finals in my lifetime. But they have to make a move because as good as LeBron and Anthony Davis, they raise the floor – to have a higher ceiling, they got to get one more guy in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a team of the Western Conference that could immediately flip the... but here's the thing. This is the big difference, right? When we look at the West, we know OKC's not going anywhere. We know Minnesota's not going anywhere. Denver's not going to go anywhere. Dallas is going to be very good again next season. The Clippers could be good again next season. Even if the Lakers bring in another guy and they improve this roster drastically, there is not a move that they could make that would make them a surefire favorite out of the Western Conference because it is so compact. That's not the case in the Eastern Conference, right? Boston is the clear-cut favorite. To me, the reason why I didn't even bring up the Western Conference is because a number of moves could be made by a number of teams, and it's still going to be a gauntlet.
Yeah, you're right. The top of the West is definitely, the top five or six teams in the West is definitely, just a bloodbath. Well, it's Boston, and then after that you got the Knicks, healthy Knicks, Philly and Bucks, and then after that, it's a lot of nothing, So, it's going to be an interesting offseason because it's always an arms race, and there's a lot of teams that, that could have been in Dallas' place last year. I think Dallas kind of caught lightning in the bottle. I think same thing with Minnesota, and we might, the regular season wins might be there, but we proved it. Like, Anthony Edwards needs another creator beside him. Luka and Kyrie need one more guy to actually maybe handle the ball and make shots, because you cut the head off the head of the snake there in Dallas, then things fall apart. So there's a lot of high quality teams with major glaring flaws in the West, and whoever can fill that flaw is going to probably come out of the West next year.
He is James Holis. He's always kind enough to join us. James, I know that the season is over, but there's going to be plenty to talk about, especially with free agency not that far off. So hopefully you'll hang around, man, throughout the summer, and we can continue to talk basketball here on the show.
I'm excited, man. I especially want to get into more of the West, because I don't know if Denver can really – they got to do something too. So, yeah, I'm excited to talk to you all summer.